City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello and welcome to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. I'm one of your hosts, Stephen Munson.
And I am the other host, Clarence Hughes. Again, everyone, welcome to the USA Volleyball Show. We're here. It's happening.
Clarence, I am excited.
How excited are you?
This is awesome. I started a little background. I started at USA Volleyball 7 years ago, and I never would have thought I'd be on a podcast. I had a little internship in radio, and from that experience, I knew I never wanted to be in radio, at least do a morning radio show. But I am excited about this. I love volleyball. I love USA Volleyball. And this is going to be fun.
We have our own morning radio show. Little did you know, I'm just kidding. But it also sounds like you said 70 years ago. So I hope you're not seven years into
USA Volleyball. 7 years ago. Yeah. I'm only 30 years old.
And as far as my background goes, where do I even start? Originally from LA, North Long Beach to be exact. So, you know, from the LBC. Bounced around a lot of sport teams in LA. I'll shout a few out now: the LA Galaxy, LA Lakers, the LA Clippers, the LA Sparks, the LA Kings. And that's all I could think of right now. That is a lot. Yeah. all part time, very small time lines of work, but led up to the bigger picture now. Who would have thought I'd be a marketing coordinator for USA Volleyball? Here we are.
And you just hit your 1 year at USA Volleyball, right?
Just about, yeah, 1 year. It's surreal. Starting last year in the pandemic up to now, who would have thought?
A weird time to start, for sure.
The stars have aligned, and here we are with the USA Volleyball Show. So I'll give a quick little breakdown of what we're trying to really put out to you, the fans, the audience, but we're trying to just bring a new direction of interaction and engagement between USA Volleyball and its membership and anyone who loves a podcast. If you're a sports fan, this is a podcast for you. Everything's professional. Everything's uptight. Everyone has to, be at a certain level. We're turning that down. Okay. We're relaxed. Yeah. We're being authentic, realistic. If we mess up here on the podcast, some of those takes might get aired because we're human and we make those mistakes, but we're trying to take all that into a humorous and funny interactive version. And, you'll be able to really, level and just be on the same playing field as a lot of our athletes that we mentioned in our pilot episode up until now. So we hope we're able to somehow put all this huge formula together into something that you all like. So wish us the best of luck, and here we go.
Yeah, USA fans, even if you're not a volleyball fan, I hope you find this podcast somehow and become a volleyball fan, become a part of our family, because we're excited for volleyball to be back. We're excited for the games to happen this year after the postponement last year. And we're going to talk about that in our first three episodes. The Tokyo Hype today is 100 days out. We'll talk about that as well. And our guest interview lineup this today is going to be featuring some big names that you probably have heard of, Jordan Larson, April Ross, and Katie Holloway. Katie Holloway was a great interview. The 100 days out for the Paralympic Games will be a little bit later out, but she'll talk about her excitement for the Paralympic Games. But before we get started, I'll talk a little bit about myself, my background. Again, my name is Stephen Munson. I am originally from Dallas, Texas. I started at USA Volleyball 7 years ago. It'll be 7 years in September is when I started. And then, I started in sport development at USA Volleyball. I was a temporary assistant and they kept bringing me back. It was a 6 months temporary hire, and then it was another 6 months temporary hire. And then I got the full-time job at USA Volleyball, and then slowly transitioned into more media and video production. I did a lot of the streaming at our events, our junior national events, both indoor and beach. And now am the the digital media, the digital content. Shoot, I don't remember my
title. Did you forget your job title? give me a second. I got
no. It's so long. It's so long, and it's changed. It's changed so much.
I don't want to hear excuses. I don't even think your title is that long. All right, let me. I got my email open. Let me check your signature. All right, everyone. Steven Munson is the digital media and engagement coordinator here at USA Volleyball.
There you go. You said we'd keep it real. Make mistakes. My title has changed so much, so it's hard to keep up with it. But yeah, digital media and engagement coordinator. Did I get it?
I hope you did. I'm reading it, and yes, you did. And speaking of engagement, we have an email. You guys, we want to hear from you specifically. This podcast is geared towards the fans, towards the audience for you. And we want to gear our future episodes towards topics that you want to listen to. So feel free to reach out to us. Email us at the USA Volleyball Show, the USAVshow.org. I'm going to say that one more time because I may have slightly messed that up. So that is the USAV show at USAV.org. Again, email us, like, comment, subscribe, anything you want to hear, whether it's even negative feedback. We take constructive criticism very well. And, you know, we know it's not personal, but anything you want to hear, any advice you have for us, reach out to us there. We will do our absolute best to get back to you within, as soon as possible.
A reasonable amount of time. We'll get back to you. Yeah. So with all that being said, I think we're ready to get into our first interview. We will be talking to 2-time Olympic medalist Jordan Larson. Jordan just finished up her season with the new Athletes Unlimited Pro League here in the US. They had I think they called it the Shield, which was sort of a bubble in Dallas, but they just finished up. Jordan was named the Athletes Unlimited champion. She had over 5,000 points, we were really excited to talk to Jordan because she talked about her reaction to the postponement of the Olympics early last year, and how the women's national team is adjusting their training heading into the Olympics right now. So without further ado, here's Jordan. Jordan, I want to kind of go back to early 2020 when you heard about the postponement. What were your initial reactions for the Olympics being postponed?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't ideal by any means. But I think what I've learned throughout my career is that this isn't the first bad news that I've heard, or like hard news that I've had to like either overcome or just kind of change directions. And so while this one maybe carried a little more weight, I think in general, as an athlete, we have to take stuff and then how do we kind of learn from it and like kind of move through it and like move on and like kind of refocus our mind. So I immediately went to thank gosh, it's not like canceled. This is the first time I think Olympic Games has ever been postponed. So that there was hope there. And I tried to just lean into that and just refocus my mind around that. Well, we don't know what's next, but we know that this could, hopefully happen for sure in the future. So,
how you talked about like kind of adapting and stuff and how's the team and maybe even you, how have they done that leading up to now? I know a bunch of the athletes have been playing overseas. There are a couple athletes, including yourself, playing in the AU, the new AU league. But how has that process been?
Yeah, I think if you had asked us last year, I think our culture wasn't broken by any means, but I think we were having some just maybe lack of communication between staff and players or player to player. And so there was just this stuff that we needed to work out, but obviously a lot of us are everywhere. So we really didn't have the chance to kind of work it out at that time. So we really dove into Zoom, like everybody, it was like, all right, well, this is our only platform at the moment to see each other. And so we were doing kind of like weekly meetings of having a guest speaker. And then we actually got to know Sue Inquist. She is now like our consultant for our team that basically has helped us restructure our team culture and like what our team values, and then how do we kind of take it to the staff and kind of create this like accountability across like all levels, you know, peer to peer, you know, coach to player. And how do we kind of formalize all that? So we've really been working really hard off the court. And I think people have seen all the stuff that we've been building. It's like, we keep building, but now it's really when we get into the gym is when you're going to see it pay off. And so I think everybody's just super stoked to get back in. So I think that's kind of how we refocused our mind and taking the time off the court.
So you're a two-time Olympic medalist. You've done this before, but this year, you know, obviously has its challenges and it's very different, but were those two previous experiences, have you been able to draw anything from that to help you with this? Or what are those challenges like preparing for Tokyo now?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think with any Olympic Games, there's some challenges, and I think, the fact that we're not going to be able to have family there, you know, I think that's going to be different. But I think that we've created this culture that now that it's like, we're trying to be a very cohesive unit and that it's going to hopefully be seamless. But also what comes with the Olympics too, is this, I would say like unrealistic pressure. Like it's called the Olympic Games. Yes. There's this like magnitude behind it, but at the end of the day, like it's still like just a level court. We're playing a lot of the same teams we have been playing. The ball is the same, you know, there's a lot of similarity. So if we can kind of simplify the fact of like, yeah, it's Olympics, but hey, we're going in there to do a job. I think as long as we keep that at the forefront, like the rest will kind of take care of itself. So, I think that will be my goal, to keep communicating that amongst the team and just kind of ease those nerves kind of going in.
Seems like there's just a big amount of just mental strain and regroup that needs to really, you know, just stay at the forefront, you know, moving from last year into this year. Do you want to just talk about any type of like maybe new techniques you've picked up, or just, you know, focusing habits that, you know, just kind of keep you in alignment, just moving forward into Tokyo, and just, you know, just preparation in general?
Yeah. I think for me, COVID was probably a big blessing for me physically, and obviously mentally too. I think I've been playing professionally now for 12 years, and the pandemic was the most time I've ever taken away from the game. Like I've always been at least, you know, 14 days is like my max away without like touching a ball, like a volleyball. And I think I went almost 3 months without really consistently touching a ball.
Oh, wow.
So for me, I know everybody's like, the pandemic was so hard. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like such a blessing, because I didn't realize that how much my body needed it and my mind really. And so I really took the time to like try other things. I was golfing a lot. I was, you know, riding the Peloton a lot. I was kind of doing all these other things to stay active, but also kind of in that same vein, it like refreshed my mind kind of away from the game as well. So, I think with that, I'm kind of realizing, just even as I'm getting back into it, like paying attention to my body. Like if I really like, I'm more of just like, let's just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. But then it's like some days I like, maybe I just need to like chill and like go on a nice walk or go hit a, you know, round of nine, you know, do something that kind of takes my mind away from it. Where before I was just like, you know, all in all the time. And I think there should be a balance, you know? So I think for me personally, that's kind of how I've refocused and like, really kind of set my mind going into 2021.
You mentioned you golf a lot.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked to a couple of the men's players too, men's indoor players, and they like to get out and golf, especially when they're traveling together. But, you know, it helps you mentally, you said, but what is it about golf that helps you, you know, maybe refocus or even just help you with your game on the court, on volleyball court?
Yeah. I think I just like going out and like riding the car, like especially just on nice days. I mean, just getting outside, enjoying the sun. I mean, being an indoor sport, we don't get a lot of sun exposure. So that's nice. And I think just realizing like, okay, I've been trying to master my sport for a really long time. And here I am starting at something that maybe I'm not so good at. And I'm like, I swear I'm doing the same thing, right? Like swinging this club, I'm doing the same thing, but the ball is not ending where I want it to or where I feel like my mind is going to. And then there's some days I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to approach the day like this. I'm not going to worry about my swing. And then, you know, like there's these different mental approaches that I'm approaching to the golf game. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could translate that more to like the level game as well. So just those constant conversations that I'm having with myself, but more often than not, just going out and relaxing and going out with my fiance, he's got into it as well. So, yeah, it's been fun, but definitely challenging too.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. I know like just throughout the AU league and just all of the other, you know, just tremendous games that you've played at, you know, you're known for swinging at everything. So, yeah. You know, it's a different type of swing that you're definitely taking up here, and you're definitely a competitor. So
for sure.
Can see the frustration there. But we just, you know, just transitioning into just talking about, you know, Athletes Unlimited in general. Why did you decide to split the, you know, 2020-21 season between China and AU rather than just playing the traditional length of a typical season?
Yeah. I think the longer I've gone in my career, I think the more time I value being at home or closer to home or a shorter season. And so I went to Shanghai, not last year, but the year before, kind of right after Turkey. And I really had a great time. The city was amazing. And it was kind of the first season where I like really was able to like push the weight room in like the conjunction with playing, because maybe the level wasn't as high as what it has been in Europe. And so I feel like that was going to help me kind of transition into the national team quite nicely. And so that's kind of where my focus was at. And then when the Olympics got postponed, that even carried even more weight, because I knew that, you know, I wanted to really focus on the weight room. And so that's kind of why. And then obviously Athletes Unlimited was planned for the year after the Olympics, but I think it also, the product that we were able to put together, I mean, it was very high level volleyball by the end there. I think people were kind of getting in the groove the first couple of weeks, but I don't know. It was just a really unbelievable experience. They took really good care of us. And just to have the conveniences of being at home, you know, being able to order food, you know, from Amazon, and just like, I don't know, it was just really nice. So, yeah.
It was really cool to watch. And it like just got me excited for when you guys can have fans in the stands for those matches. Just the arena looked super cool. Loved the uniforms, were awesome. But just the whole energy in there, even without fans, was pretty cool. It even translated over TV, which was cool.
For sure. Yeah, the production was unbelievable. And if you would have asked me when I first started like having conversations, was back in 2019, if you would have said like, this is what it was going to be, like, I never would have dreamt of it. So it was incredible.
Yeah. It was definitely like a sight to watch every, you know, step of the way. Like my personal favorite is for the giraffes every Tuesday. They're like, just so dramatic and just,
I know.
Dun, dun, dun. Who's going to pick who? But it's amazing that, you know, everything seemed to work out well. And, you know, also just a big congrats to you for, you know, being champion of the AU inaugural season, you know, leader of all points, I think over 4,500.
Yeah, something close.
It's okay. 500. Yeah. That's
she's like, yeah, no, we'll top that next season.
Another day in the office, you know.
Yeah. Do you just want to just, you know, since we're just talking about the experience of, you know, the first AU season, you know, just want to talk about your experience there personally into more, you know, detail?
Yeah, for sure. So maybe what a lot of people don't know is that I actually was the first one to sign on, and then they created a player executive board, which was made up of 5 members. And we were in charge of recruiting all the athletes to come. So there was 44 athletes that were in the Shield, and there was, I don't remember how many per position, and it actually equated to 4 teams of 11 players. And so what was unique about this league is that it's very athlete run. And so that means that we did have coaches. We had 4 coaches, and then we had a head of volleyball who was Chris McGowan. But at the end of the day, the people that were voted captains then had basically control over how much they wanted to do. They could run practice that they wanted to, they could set the lineup. They could do a lot of whatever they wanted to do. Is kind of, but it just really showed, like, empowering women and empowering athletes to kind of step into that space. So for me, I wasn't captain to start off with. We actually had three scrimmages to start off with. And then after those three scrimmages, then the top four like leaders were then captain the first week. And so it was really fun to see maybe people that weren't comfortable in that spot typically, you know, that had to embrace it and really like take the lead and kind of communicate. And but in general, after that first week, then I became captain the next 4 weeks. And yeah, it was super fun. I think the draft created a different kind of challenge, because you had to like, hey, what are my strengths and weaknesses? How can I make the best team possible? Being sometimes the fourth pick, I had to wait for the first three picks to determine how does that affect. And then, yeah. And then just being able to get on the same page quickly. We had 3 days to train and then 3 days to play. So it was like on the same page and then change teams again. So it really kind of made you uncomfortable at times, but I think in the end it made me maybe a better player.
Yeah. And I think the point system is something that's really special about that. And, you know, just to kind of touch on, you know, the newer volleyball fans that are, you know, in the United States watching that as well. You know, you get like X amount of points for a dig, a kill, you know, all these service errors, you get subtracted points. So it makes them really take up the, you know, terminology of the game, and you learn it as you go there. But that's something that I really thought was interesting. And I was wondering, I was like, wow, how is this point system going to work? But hey, it all worked out just very well, very seamlessly at that. How does that pro experience compared to, you know, those experiences of the past? Like, I know it's very empowering and you had a lot of just leadership opportunities to take control. I know that's one of the biggest factors, you know, to differentiate the two. But did you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think oftentimes professionally, like we're overseas and we kind of like, you have friends on your team, right? But at the end of the day, you're there to do a job. And this is very much the same in essence. But also, like, we had, for example, Friday Night Lights, which was, if you wanted to partake, you could. Some people chose not to, just depending on the topic. But we really dove into like some hard topics that we're facing in our country at the moment, you know, racial inequality, you know, all these things that maybe are just hard to talk about. And so we had these kind of come together moments every Friday before we all competed against each other. So it kind of created this overall like cohesive unit, even though we were all like competing against each other. So it was like this friendly like competition and like talking smack, but yet like coming together on Fridays and really just diving into some like deeper issues and really understanding like they're more than just volleyball players. They're people, and they like understanding where they come from and why they think the way they do. And then that helps you kind of play next to them on the court. So it really added a layer of like depth and something that is very unique and nothing I've really ever experienced like outside per se.
I think that is just flat out amazing that that's been incorporated into, you know, just the overall system of the league. Just to touch on a more serious topic, you know, we've just been, you know, programmed to not talk about those things and to, you know, it's wrong to have these uncomfortable conversations. And now that the, you know, the light switch is flipped on, it's like, let's do it. It's really reassuring to really hear about, you know, just AU taking those steps forward for that progress that needs to be made. And, you know, you all, you know, amazing individuals on there are taking the lead there. So that's really reassuring to hear.
Sure. Yeah. And it's something that you like one girl, for example, like her dad was a cop, you know, and like understanding also that side of it too, you know, hey, like, you know, how did your dad feel during the situation? You know, just also things that you don't like, maybe in your life, you don't cross paths with. And so being able to like understand and like just kind of open your mind to having that. So yeah, it was cool to be a part of.
Awesome. I know I'm excited. I think I can speak for Clarence too. He's excited to watch next season.
I caught like every draft, every game. It was amazing. I was just glad to watch volleyball, and I'm just excited that, you know, you all had the opportunity to start a league here in the United States, because it's big. It's bigger. Yep. It's just yep. It's huge.
Yeah. And just to hear, like, even like a lot of international friends of mine, you know, like the weight it's carrying overseas too, you know, I think we put it on the map. And so like, it was shown in like over 100 countries and like all these things. It's like, it's being re-aired on Fox and on CBS. And like, I mean, what a blessing, really.
Well, yeah, definitely go check out those replays if you haven't seen those. Definitely worth your time. And Jordan, good luck in your training and preparation for Tokyo. We're really excited and we'll be cheering you guys on. But is there anything else you want to talk about, share before you leave here?
Follow me on Instagram at gov1007 and then Twitter is JordanLarson10 and then also my puppy. Come here.
Oh,
that's the dog. Oh, we
really
have the puppy now.
Say good morning.
It's too bad this is a podcast, but we'll definitely have to post a picture.
Oh, yeah. This is going in an ass somewhere.
He was sleeping. He likes to sleep in the morning. Come here, bud.
So do we.
We hold what they want.
They caught you both early on that West Coast time. So cute. We'll have to clip that for the promo.
I know, right? There you go. Oh. All right, guys.
Well, thanks so much, Jordan.
Yeah, have a good rest of your day. We'll talk to you later. You too.
We'll talk soon. Okay.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Bye. Yeah, so Jordan is in an interesting situation or was in an interesting situation with the Olympics being postponed announcement. I know she said she was thankful it wasn't canceled. I think that was the reaction for many of the athletes, especially the veteran athletes, more veteran athletes who've been training this whole quad for the Olympic Games. And, you know, especially for someone like Jordan, who's been to, this will be her third Olympic Games. She's been training 12 years for the Olympics and that's a long time for someone to train and to be worried about the games being canceled. I'm sure that was a huge shock to her.
Yeah. And you're training, you know, I don't want to necessarily say you're training one way, but you know, similar ways, like you said, for a span of 12 or so years and, you know, just with the pandemic happening, just the amount of mental refocus and readjustments and, you know, physical readjustments that, you know, have had to be taken into account, not only with, you know, organizations transitioning over into Zoom and Microsoft Teams and other, right, you know, virtual meetings, athletes are doing the same thing. Whatever sand or court time they're able to find to readjust their workout habits, you know, whether it's individual or, you know, socially distanced, they've had to do the same thing just to try to keep the camaraderie up within their teams by having, you know, weekly calls, bi-weekly calls, just mm-hmm. some sort of social interaction. And I that's quite an adjustment just getting ready for you know, an Olympic year like we've got now.
Yeah, the I know I saw especially early quarantine, early COVID, there were the athletes, especially the women's national team, I saw they were getting together on Zoom calls with, you know, their athletic trainers, and the trainers were sending them workouts, even doing like workout demonstrations for the athletes to do at home. We saw a lot of, you know, cool videos of some of our athletes doing home workouts, getting creative.
I remember some of those.
They couldn't get any court time, whether that was indoor or beach. But they were, you know, having fun at home, getting creative with workouts. And, you know, that helps keep their, like you said, their culture together, being away. Most of them were all over the United States. And I know a couple of them live close together and were able to see each other, but they, mm-hmm. for the most part, you know, their only interaction was virtually, which is a very big challenge to keep that culture strong, especially, you know, a year before the Olympic Games, on the biggest stage.
Yeah. And just staying at home and adjust their daily routines to be 100% or, you know, 95% all at home. And it's tremendously hard to stay motivated in that fact because, you know, the temptation of your bed being 20 feet away, or, you know, you're getting a snack in the kitchen, or, you know, there's the landline or a phone you can use to, you know, dial a friend and, you know, chat with them. There's just so many at home distractions that, you know, just come into play. And it's just not easy to adjust something you've been doing for years and years and years. And yeah, 2020 has been its own challenge, but it's really good to see the progress we're making this year into 2021, heading into Tokyo. And it's really interesting to see how everyone will persevere into this and, you know, I don't want to say make the best out of the worst situation, but that's what everyone's kind of doing. They don't really have a choice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, I mean, personally, one thing I struggled with too was just separating home and work. You know, when we went back home to work remote, and I can only imagine, you know, the athletes felt the same way, where they would, you know, go to the gym and that was where they worked. That was training for them. And then to bring that training to their house, definitely probably hard to separate that. One of the cool things I thought Jordan said was, you know, when we talk about refocusing, was that she would go out and play golf with her fiance. And that was their way to kind of, you know, wipe their brains, refocus for volleyball training, but go out and have fun outside and, you know, just golf, you know, not even think about volleyball.
Yeah. You know, golf is definitely something that I've noticed a lot of professional athletes take up into, you know, just a hobby or just some type of, like you mentioned, just relaxation part of just, you know, relieving the stressful part of your day.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it gets frustrating for Jordan because she's such a competitor and, you know, she's used to
swinging. Oh, I can only imagine.
You know, volleyball the same way, you know, down spiral, you know, whatever else. You hit an angle, you hit a line, 10-foot line at that. And then, you know, you put a golf club in her hands and it's just like, whoa, what is this? But, you know, like you mentioned, it's really good to see, you know, her and other, you know, athletes like her picking up these different hobbies to, you know, keep their mind stimulated, to stay focused and just to stay on that line of productivity.
Yeah, I can imagine an athlete at Jordan's level would struggle with not being good at something. So she's getting ready. The Olympics were not canceled. They were postponed for 2021 this summer.
Correct.
And she's been to two Olympics before, so it's a very different experience for her this time, this go around, especially in the preparation. And I think one of the things that a lot of the athletes are going to have to train for, you know, probably more mentally than physically, for the fact that their family won't be there. It's no international fans that will be at the game. So it'll be a little different environment, a little different atmosphere. And, you know, that could work to their advantage. That could hinder their performance or something that they're going to have to work on for the challenge. But it was interesting to hear that and for her to talk a little bit about that difference.
Yeah. And just to touch on, you know, the no fans aspect of, you know, sports returning the way, you know, we want them to. It's been you see the different challenges that different disciplines of sport have encountered with the NBA bubble, you know, Major League Baseball did the same thing and they had their own issues. The NHL did it on top of that. Even the AHL leagues did it, you know, to support what the NHL were doing. And, you know, they were able to make these seasons work. And, you know, again, the whole progression towards, you know, the return of fans one day. Even Athletes Unlimited did it in the Shield. They called their bubble the Shield. And it's just very interesting to see each player of each discipline, you know, whatever team they're on, how they reacted and how they adapted to that
you know, just that atmosphere of no fans, because it is a big difference. And you can only do so much programming of fan noises and stadium, you know, sounds and ticks and, you know, familiar atmosphere and crowd reactions to an extent, because that only does so much. And yeah. It's very interesting. So just to see this happening on, you know, the Olympic level this year with the, you know, everything being postponed into, you know, July of 2021. Very interesting. I mean, I'm very interested to see how that plays out on this level.
Yeah. And like training for that, she talked about how they're trying to simplify the process. Volleyball is volleyball. You know, the court size doesn't change. The net height doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And trying to keep that mindset going in as they all come together back from their pro seasons and getting back in the gym together to train. That's one of the things she touched on was that was a highlight for them.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And just to add to, you know, a bit of her touch points, you know, her being a veteran and she's already been there before. She's seen what the show looks like with fans. She's seen what the show looks like with hundreds of media outlets around you. Yep. And how do you paint that picture for the younger, you know, less experienced teammates that you have? How do you paint that picture of what's going to happen and what is it going to look like? Nobody knows. So, you know, just everything's just up in the air at this point. And I really like how she touched on the overall culture of the Shield, how much freedom Athletes Unlimited was able to give everyone to just, you know, socialize safely, get to know everyone, have those conversations. I think she called them Friday Night Light Talks, which is something
that was cool.
Probably one of my favorite takeaways of that, because it just gets everybody talking and we get everyone talking and, you know, just in agreement on the same page. You get to learn everyone's experiences, you know, where they come from, why are they here? You know, you get to learn about the challenges in certain, you know, aspects of everyone's life. And it helps, you know, everything come together on the court. And, you know, what we saw in a successful AU season makes me really excited for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. They are officially announced that they will have a season 2, which is very exciting. I know they are doing some replays. So if you haven't checked them out, you definitely need to go check them out. Check out their social medias. I think they're mostly AU Pro Sports on their social media handle platforms. And it's a very interesting take on volleyball, very different. And I know a lot of the fans and even some of the athletes were not sure how it was going to go. But I think from my perspective that it was a huge success and I'm really excited to watch season 2.
Yeah. And it one of my favorite aspects of the game was, every team is drafted every Tuesday, but the point system, it comes off as very complex, but as you start to understand, you know, the game of volleyball and, you know, what a service error is, what an ace is, what a kill is, what a dig is, and you start to really see that, okay, you know, an ace on a serve is 12 points, but an error is going to be -8. So it really helps you try to keep track of the game as it goes along. Like an attack and or a kill is 8 points, but then if you mess that up, you know, that's -12 points. Same thing for a set assist. That's a point. You know, there are like, I don't know how many sets in a game, a lot. So like those can quickly tally up into your favor, especially if you're a setter or, you know, you're constantly helping on those out of reach balls. But, you know, another error is -12. So, you know, it's a nice little mental workout as you're watching the game, plus understanding the game too. So
yeah,
it's very interesting.
It's like a game within a game, which is pretty cool. And just to have, you know, pro volleyball, pro women's volleyball in the U.S. is a huge deal. And to be so accessible to the fans, for them to watch on some of the big networks like CBS and Fox, and even on, you know, social media with Facebook Live and YouTube and Twitch. But to have pro volleyball, you know, volleyball at such a high level, so accessible for fans to watch and engage with, will only help grow the game And I know a lot of the pro athletes are very excited for this, because they will have an option to stay home, to stay in the US to play high level volleyball instead of going overseas.
Yeah, that option was big. Again, a really, really interesting touch point that that Jordan shared. And, you know, having a 3-hour flight back home from Dallas to California instead of, you know, an international flight coming over from China, you know, yeah. You have so much more time on your hands. You know, you're more used to, you know, whatever cuisine and, you know, dietary options that you have here in the States, and you have access to all that. And, you know, just the travel strain is reduced tremendously.
Yeah, well, it was a great interview with Jordan. We're so excited to get her to sit down with us for a few minutes to talk. And we're definitely excited. Rosters aren't set for Tokyo. But we'll be cheering her on and cheering on the women's national team as they head into Tokyo. But moving on to another 2-time Olympic medalist who is now mathematically qualified for the Tokyo Olympic Games. Let's hear a little bit from April Ross.
Here we are with Beach Olympian April Ross. And first off, congratulations on your recent gold medal at the Qatar Cup. What was it like getting back into competition, getting back on the sand after a year off?
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was so excited to win that competition after taking so much time off of international competition. We trained really hard for that whole time. Thankfully, we were able to play in a couple AVPs last summer, but still that was like so pared down. And so I'd say, you know, getting back on the sand with the best teams in the world was pretty nerve wracking. We, you know, knew we had been training well, but the whole competition rhythm is so much different and the intensity is so much different. You just like, don't know if you are prepared for it. Like, it's almost like we forgot what it was like. And so we, you know, we're optimistic, but we didn't know how it was necessarily going to go. And the first match for me was probably the roughest. Alex came out just firing on all cylinders. Like, I think her adrenaline and her nerves like made her just dominate. And it took me a while to get into the rhythm again. But I'd say the fourth match in, I was feeling really good. And we were clicking and our rhythm was back, and it was so exciting and it was so fun to be out there and feel like our work had paid off and we were ready for this competition. And, yeah, that final was awesome. And the whole event was run really well, and, is a new part of the world for us. So, yeah, just very excited. And it was our first competition with our new coach, Angie Akers. And so we were kind of dealing with that as well, like figuring out our cadence and how that was going to work in a full-on competition. And it, you know, obviously went well. So, it was just really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun and exciting for us fans too, to be able to watch you guys play again after all that time. And, you know, we're hoping that continues, and we're excited for Tokyo as well.
Yeah, the fan engagement was really fun for us too. You know, you could just tell that people hadn't had a chance to watch beach volleyball in a while. And so everyone was for tuned sure. in and mm-hmm. watching the YouTube. And that was fun for us also.
Being a 2-time, you know, Olympic medalist, what feeds your motivation, you know, for the push for Tokyo and, you know, competing at that highest level of competition?
I think it's just, you know, it's the Olympics. I mean, like, I just don't even know how to explain, you know, there's only one answer. Like, you either, you know, really want to go to the Olympics and get up for it. And, you know, that motivates you daily to work your hardest. Or I don't know, you don't care about it, but I, you know, like for me, this is my craft, this is my career, and the Olympics is the highest you can go in beach volleyball. And, you know, that's always what I'm striving for. And that's kind of what's driven me throughout my entire career is, you know, I want to be my best. I want to see how far I can go and how good I can be. And so going to the Olympics and competing there, that's, you know, just naturally what I want to do and what fires me up. And, you know, it's such a fun experience. And another huge driving force for me this time is that it's Alex's first time. And like, I really wanted to help her get there because she took such a leap of faith coming from the indoor team to try beach just so she could go to the Olympics. And so there was, you know, it wasn't a huge pressure on me, but I did feel that weight of like, okay, let's get Alex to the Olympics. And so that's just super fun that it seems like it's materializing and we're going to get to go and it's going to be her first time and I'll get to see it through her eyes. And, you know, it never, I mean, it, obviously like it's only my third time and it's the Olympics. So like, I still get chills thinking about it and it's going to be, hopefully, you know, we still have to officially qualify, but hopefully we get there. And I'm just so excited to experience it again.
Yeah, I'm sure every Olympic experience is, you know, unique for many reasons, being in, you know, different host cities and stuff like that. But to be to have Alex there and her first time and seeing it through her eyes, like you said, has to be refreshing and kind of a cool experience for you.
Yeah, I think she's going to bring, you know, a level of energy that, you know, is going to, it, like you said, going to be really refreshing. And she's just going to be so excited at every turn. And I think it'll be good for me because at my first Olympics, I was so wide eyed and it was so new and fun. And, you know, I was all about the experience and ran, you know, like, oh, we found ourselves in the final. And that was, you know, obviously a huge cherry on top, but, my next Olympics, I just, you know, I put the blinders on. And I was like, you know, I want to, you know, I'm here to compete. Like, that's all it's about. Like, let's, you know, take care of business, forget about the fun parts of the Olympics. And, you know, I'm hoping that with Alex, with it being Alex's first time, she'll be, you know, bring the wide eyed energy and like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, so fun. And, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, experience it more than I did at the last Olympics. But I think hopefully we can come together and find, you know, an energy that's just really productive and not, you know, all business or all fun, but something where we can really have a really great experience.
A good sweet spot in between.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
I wanted to ask you about your partnership with Alex and how that's grown since 2018 up until now. And you know, what sort of growth have you seen? Have you noticed?
Well, I think I, you know, got super lucky picking Alex, obviously. You can do all the research and try to make the best decision you can at the time, but you really don't know this person. And just, you know, I feel like our partnership has, you know, worked out just so well based on who we are as people and how we get along and, the intangibles she brings and, you know, kind of how I've gone about my career. And she's kind of jumped in and, luckily we see eye to eye on a lot of things. So I think that's helped us really grow our partnership and, not had speed bumps in the way that we work together. It's been more like ups and downs technique wise and system wise and the pandemic and, but we've really been able to support each other and work towards our goals, in a really productive way. And, we've had, you know, we communicate really well. And so that's helped a ton. But I just think, you know, Alex is so smart and she's caught on so quickly with different techniques and strategies and just figuring out how she wants to play the game. And so she's really dialed in, you know, how she wants to do things while being open to feedback, obviously, and it being a very collaborative process. And now we're at the point where I look at her and I'm like, Alex, what am I doing wrong? Help me, you know, like coach me. And she can tell me, you know, it looks like you're really early to the ball or, you know, you know, she has really good feedback for me. And so we can help each other in that way. It's not just me trying to, you know, tell her how to do things. She really helps me out. And so I think that's been huge. And that came into play a ton in Doha. And now, you know, she's established herself so formidably on the tour and as a beach player that, you know, if I'm being targeted, now she can help me and she can do things on the court where she can insert herself. It's not like she's getting targeted all the time and it's me helping her. And kind of like, it took us a while for her to figure out how she was going to help me when I was getting targeted. And so that's, I think, the biggest kind of development we're, you know, experiencing right now, but it's definitely been up and down. I think, which is only natural with her transition to the beach and having to catch on so fast. You know, there wasn't a lot of time, room for error. And it's just been really impressive how she's figured it out so quickly. And I feel like she still has a lot of room. As great as she is right now, it's almost scary how much better, you know, she could even get.
Oh, for sure. That's really cool to hear that the how fluid the partnership is and how it just goes both ways with the feedback and experience and everything. And you know, you guys are certainly like incredibly fun to watch, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys in Tokyo. Before we finish, we just wanted to make sure that, or check with you if you have anything else you want to talk about or share.
I mean, I'm sure I do, but I can't think of much right now. You know, just focused on the path and doing the best that we can. So, you know, you can follow me on my social channels if you want. Everything is just April Ross Beach, either on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, we're really looking forward to cheering you and Alex on the race to Tokyo. And thanks again. Thanks again for sitting down and taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, April.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye. Yeah, so like Jordan, this will be April's third Olympic Games, but she has new energy and motivation to get Alex, her partner on the beach, to the Olympic Games for her first time. And I know it'll be more of a more refreshing experience for April, seeing it through Alex's eyes.
I know. So I think it serves as a good reminder of, you know, where you started, where you came from, or that, you know, just first taste of, you know, just the huge lights of what the Olympic Games are and represent. And that just touches on, I think specifically on beach partnerships in general, just touching how, like, you know, there's no coach on the sand. It's just them two, you know, from start to finish, set to set. And, you know, you really have to, you know, learn each other, complement, each other's weaknesses and, you know, just flow and mesh together. And I think that's just something very unique, you know, on the beach side of things. Just moving in the sand itself is just something that's tremendously incredible for all, you know, all those beach athletes out there. I'm pretty sure you understand the pain there.
Yeah, certainly the beach compared to indoors, a whole nother animal. And they're both animals in their own right. And what's unique about beaches, you have, like you said, your coach isn't usually on the sand with you. And it's just the two of you playing together, and you're feeding off each other's energy. You're getting feedback from each other. And that's it. And it's cool to hear that, you know, this being April's third game, she still gets chills even thinking about the Olympics and what it will feel like in opening ceremonies and stepping on the sand for the first time. So it's pretty cool to see or to hear that from a veteran like April.
Yeah. And I really like how she pointed out that, you know, like you mentioned as well, Stephen, that the nerves never go away. You're still starstruck. You're still like, oh my God, Olympics. Like, this is the stage we all want to be on. Well, they all want to be on. And just to re-engage at, you know, what Alex is going to, you know, how she's going to take that in and how April is going to readjust her approach to that just from a visual standpoint and an overall mental state of mind towards that. So just it'd be really interesting to see, you know, somehow some point of that, if we can, you know, touch base with them again, just to see, you know, some strategies and, you know, things to take into consideration with how they're dealing with it. You know, is it just play, nothing else? Just we're putting on the blockers or we're going, or, you know, or do you take the time to, you know, accept I'm here and, you know, it's time to work, you know, work's not done yet. Job's not done yet, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it's cool to hear April talk about how they've grown as a partnership, and specifically how Alex's, her game has grown since they began in 2018. With their partnership, and, you know, coming from the indoor side, her growth on the beach to where she's at now is pretty incredible, with them being the top pair, one of the top pairs in the world.
Yeah.
And how Alex is more than just, you know, April Ross's partner. She's actually on the sand giving April feedback, and she's starting to see the game in different ways that April may not have seen before. That was pretty cool to hear.
Mm-hmm. It just shows the room for, I don't want to say improvement, but just that there's no ceiling if, you know, you're an aspiring indoor player wanting to transition over to beach, and that you can literally accomplish whatever you want. And just for this state of the conversation, the fact that, you know, Alex is, you know, or actually April is asking Alex, what am I doing wrong? Where can I be on the court to get better myself? And, you know, this is coming from an Olympian herself. Mm-hmm. So it's just incredible.
Two-time Olympic medalist, who's still learning the game in different ways and finding ways to get better. It's pretty cool. Pretty incredible. And something that, you know, younger players can definitely look at, look up to, as a role model for their own game. So yeah, we're getting really excited for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. We're right at 100 days out. Alex and April have both mathematically qualified for the Olympic Games. So we're getting really excited to cheer them on. But we're also looking ahead to the Paralympic Games that will follow the Olympic Games in Tokyo. We got to sit down with three-time Paralympian Katie Holloway to talk to her a little bit about the hype for Tokyo and how the team has been growing this quad. So we'll hear what Katie has to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Katie Holloway, outside hitter and opposite for the U.S. Women's National Sitting Team, also a three-time Paralympian. So, Katie, once again, thanks for being on the podcast. Welcome to the U.S.
Defending
Volleyball Show.
Paralympic gold medalist.
That is correct.
Holloway.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm excited to join a podcast that I'm not hosting.
Low stress for you. End. Low stress for you, yeah. High stress for us. We're excited, though. We're really excited.
You got to get it right. So
So first question, you've been with the women's sitting team for a long time now, three Paralympics. But what, you know, what has been the journey, and how does it feel now to be kind of at the top, in world rankings right now, a top program in the world?
Yeah. The journey has been long, as you said. I actually have been counting recently. It's been 15 years, which is crazy. I'm on my fourth quad, and it's been such a learning curve. Each quad has been so unique and different. This being the most unique and different, I think, of any. And I think everybody can say that because of COVID. But ultimately, the growth that we've done over the course of my career is like, I could never imagine how much we've grown. We've been given so many resources to put forward towards our culture, towards being the best in the world, that I just feel so honored that we have been given so many things, and we keep being given more things because we are growing and getting better. And so this last camp that we had, it just, to me, speaks volumes to how much we've grown. I've never seen us in the gym from day one of a training camp hit the ground running so
fierce. Our girls were on it. I was like, oh my gosh. the time off that we've had only accelerated everybody's like focus and drive to be the best. We're having all out brawls on the court. I've never seen the women's game at this level. You know, from day one, when I was like, I don't know why I'm even on the court, because I don't even know how to play sitting volleyball, to today where it's like, I'm exhausted at every practice. And it's just, it feels so good to have an environment where everybody's pushing at the highest level they can. And I just feel really good about where we're at today.
That's so cool to hear, especially, you know, after that long hiatus without, you know, seeing each other and training with each other, that you guys just hit the ground running. There's a lot of good energy and passion heading into Tokyo. That's super cool. And I can tell just by how energized you are right now talking about it.
We're like juiced. Like, yeah. I didn't picture it. I didn't know what this year would hold. Everybody has so much nervous energy. I think November was our first training camp back. We had a little bit of a setback with COVID in that camp. So coming back in February, we were like, okay, what do we expect here? We're all a little nervous, but we all walked into the gym thinking, you know what? It's whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but we're here together. Our trainer keeps telling us, get apart, move apart, move apart, because we're so close to each other, because we're so excited to be around each other that our energy is like, we just want to love on each other again. So we've been breaking a little bit of rules, like trying to like hug from behind and like do little things where we can still be close. And I do think our team has come closer than we've ever been before. So everybody's energy is just so positive, and we just got to leave it at the door, you know. And we had a snowstorm, we had a blizzard before our February camp, and we were like, oh, just throw it on there. Yeah, let's do this. Let's just keep on throwing all these things in our way. But we were so happy to be together. Nothing could put us apart, it seemed like.
That's so
wow. Funny. Yeah, that I'm super excited to watch you guys in action, because I'm getting like hyped and pumped up just listening to you just talk about the team. So, side note, who is the funniest person on the team right now? Who just brings that comedic energy at all times?
Oh, it has to be Nikki Nieves, like,
of course,
hands down, in my opinion. But there's everybody's like got their own funniness. But whenever, like, first of all, when everybody's kind of, it's a little tense in the gym, she does this thing where she's like, good moods. And then that's what like resonates throughout the rest of the team when we're like something's, you know, something happens or you're like, something's about to go down or it becomes more stressful. She's like, okay, everybody, good moods.
This is I need to set that as like a, yeah, like a daily notification that I just get, just come through my phone like that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, there's little things like that that happen in the gym, like good moods. And then she just like is funny and brings all kinds of positive energy. And so I would say she's definitely the funniest. We've got quite a crew that like feeds off of her, but then, I mean, there's just other funny stuff that happens in the gym, but she definitely brings all of that and more.
Yeah, that's good to hear, because it seems like, you know, just there is just a lot of like unique individual personalities that have been able to mesh together, you know, throughout the years of being a team. And, you know, historically speaking, that's not necessarily the case a lot of the time. So just the fact that you're able to mesh, bring the energy, bring the intensity, again, just it's really exciting. It's really, really good to hear.
Yeah.
So going off of that, what excites you and the team the most about heading into Tokyo this year?
Going into Tokyo this year, I think the most exciting part, I mean, other than being together again, because we just, again, it's like when you're taken away from that, you don't realize how detrimental it really is to your group. And then just feeling lucky to get back on the court is one thing that's exciting, which seems so simple now, but it is. I think the other thing is that, like I said before, our program has grown so much that we have a really unique opportunity in front of us where we've never, in a bad way, we actually have to make hard decisions this year. But hard decisions and conflict creates a lot of growth. And so I do feel that everybody's so invested, and it's showing up in all these different cool ways in our culture and how people are bringing themselves to their whole self to the team. We're seeing more vulnerabilities among each other. And because we have to make hard decisions for the Tokyo roster, which will come later than ever than they've ever been, I think for me, because I'm a nerd about like leadership and culture and how a team kind of gels on and off the court, I think there's going to be a lot of ways in which we grow together this year than we've ever been before. So on a personal side, that's probably my excitement. On a, you know, professional side, like Tokyo Games is going to be huge, I think, for the Paralympics. We continue to see the growth across the country for it and across the world in awareness. Sponsors are finding new ways to work with Paralympics. And I hope that, unfortunately, with no fans, that people are in the sponsors and the games are going to engage fans in different ways. And so it makes it even more accessible for people to see. So I'm hopeful for that. I don't know what's to come, but I'm really hopeful for that, because obviously I'm a big advocate for a lot of equal access and equal excitement around Paralympics as Olympics.
For the more casual fans of the Olympics and Paralympics, why should somebody watch the women's team? Why should they be excited to watch you guys?
Well, I think, we are pretty funny. That's one thing. I think we all have our unique personalities, but I think, one, if you're a casual fan and you're a fan of volleyball, sitting volleyball is so unique and so fast. I was actually watching RO Sports and, Athletes Unlimited. And, I was watching their plays and I'm like, man, the ball's in the air for so long. Like, and I think about our game and it's so fast and it comes on you. And it's just such a unique new way to watch the sport that I think that is something that should captivate a casual fan. I think the other thing that I really love about our sport and especially our women's team is we're so much more than athletes. We're all very strong leaders in our environments. And we have women that are doing so many great things outside of sport. We have nonprofit owners, we have business owners, we have people that are coaches for other girls. We have, everybody has so many purposeful things outside of who they are as an athlete. So I just love that you have so many personalities on the court to see yourself in. And that makes diverse, like we're so diverse as a group as well. And it's so easy to love us. Like we're so lovable, you know? So I think the casual fans, if they can learn our stories and follow us a little bit closer on our journey, you'll see how much we love to share ourselves with others too.
Yeah. And if you just watch the sport, you watch the team play, it won't take long. You'll fall in love right away. And it is fast. It is very fast. And I think one of the big things for me was when I first watched you guys is how much you use your hands in sitting volleyball, you know, versus bumping in standing volleyball. And that's just because the ball's coming at you, you know, super fast, right at your face. And you just got to get your hands up for it, which is super cool.
Yeah. And our movement, I've heard others say before, we make it look easy. And then I love it when a person actually sits down and tries to play, because we may make it look easy because we've perfected our movement on the floor and moving and shooting on the ground and using our hands and our timing. But when you actually try it, it's a lot more difficult. I want people to try it, but I don't want people to be off put by it either. But the way we flow on the court and the way we move on the court is actually really pretty, and it's fun to watch. And it's a flow that is very unique. So,
and I would say, if you're watching it and you think they make it look so easy, sit down and try it and then you'll appreciate it so much more. And it is beautiful to see it. It's so cool how you guys flow and Kaleo just flying all over the court, getting balls to set. It's incredible. It really is. And you will, if you sit down and play, you'll be sore in places you didn't know exist. So
yeah, Clarence,
When are we getting you on the court?
As soon as possible. When you need me, I'll fly out in the next hour. Let's make it happen. Practice. I really want to try.
Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
I'll be there. Yeah, I've heard really good things just from the staff who, you know, have had the opportunity to try sitting. And, you know, I'm not one of those people yet. But like I said, I am going to be out there, and I'm super competitive, so I will be frustrated with myself. And I'm just already trying to picture, you know, me trying to get to my spot, also dig a ball, also get to the just, you know, base position. And it's exciting. So I'm really excited for that. And yeah, just to go ahead.
Oh, we're equal opportunity people. When we want, we'll take all participants, and we love having especially volleyball people come and try and play. We're especially big fans of beach. Our beach athletes are some of our biggest fans of the sport. Some of them have come and played with us, Troy Field, Kelly Clays. So Sean Rosenthal has played before. So we always love partnering with our beach and our indoor teams as well. Like just having them come and play and sit with us, because it just brings so much more awareness to our sport, but it also just opens up it as a discussion as being another discipline of USA Volleyball.
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. Three, 4 years ago, I think, the men's indoor team sat down with you guys at, yep, at Open Nationals, I think.
Yeah.
That was entertaining. That was, and I think they were so just so surprised.
First of all, they fill up the whole court. Like you can't really, I don't know if any, you know, if you're listening on this podcast, you can't see me, but if you can imagine like legs and arms for days.
Yeah. Of these people, are like what? Six
giants eight, taking six, up the entire guys. Sitting court. And all you can't really find open court on a sitting court of men's indoor players, because they just reach and they stick a foot out and they're there, you know, their platform is 8 feet long. So you're like, I don't, you just got to hit really hard at them. I hope you get through their block. It's fun.
Yeah, I know the Soji brothers, Kabika and Eric, are they will sit down and play, like, you know, as a warm up before they get on the court, which is super cool to watch.
Yeah, definitely always fans of our fellow counterparts.
So to close out, do you have any type of social media that you want to throw out there and plug, you know, whether it's for the sitting team or yourself? You know, we're promoting everything for you.
For sure. Definitely follow our team on Instagram and Facebook, our two main platforms. Instagram is USAV_sitting_WNT. And then, WNT. And then my page is at KS Holloway, and then our women's sitting team on Facebook as well, for those listeners that have Facebook. We are actually ramping up, as you guys know, a lot of our social media. And we're really excited. We just did a giveaway recently. So and look forward to more of those. And we really are putting a lot of effort into our content, and personalized effort into especially our team page on Instagram, where we want you to get to know us. We want you to understand our sport as well. We get a lot of great questions from our listeners who are curious. They're like, why this? Why are you sitting down? Why do some people can stand up? So tune in, because we're giving all that content in our team pages, so that people can get to know us, so that when we get to Tokyo, they're like on fire about us. So definitely follow those two pages if you're interested in following us along, getting to know us.
We'll be rooting for you guys.
Absolutely.
Defend that gold.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Katie.
Yeah.
Thanks for everything. Talk to you soon. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Good moods. Wow, man. I love that interview. That was great.
That was awesome. Yeah. Leave it up to Nikki to be the one to break the tension in the gym. She's an awesome personality for sure.
Nikki, this is also us calling you out to be a future guest here on the USAV show. We'll be in contact. We'll have your people contact our people. So just to touch back on Katie Holloway, just blew the expectations, the general expectations of the women's sitting team out of the water. Like I need to meet them
individually, personally, one-on-one, just they're just such a fun group. I can't even bring words to describe them. Wow.
Yeah. If you don't follow the team accounts or even their individual accounts on social media, definitely do that. It's endless entertainment. They're always cooking up something new.
Good moods.
That's all we'll say. Yeah, Katie's kind of in a similar situation as our previous guests, Jordan and April, where she has been to Paralympic Games before. But this is kind of a unique situation, a unique games for her, and even the quad leading up to it and training. They had kind of a similar situation where they were doing virtual calls to stay in touch and keep their culture. But that day one back in the gym for camp, it was just nervous energy getting back and seeing each other for the first time. And they were so excited. And she was saying that the team has never been closer before.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how, you know, you spend so much time apart and, you know, now that they're back in the gym practicing, they hit the ground running, just like full right. on. This is what we're doing. We're defending. We're the Giants. We're defending medalists. Like, this is what we do. We're gold. We are the team to beat. And that camaraderie is just, I'm still speechless. I don't know why I can't find the words to this.
Yeah, it's cool because, you look at their team in Rio and how incredible they were, how focused they were, the determination. If you don't know, the two previous Paralympics, they faced China in the final and ended up winning the silver medal. And all they wanted, I spoke to Heather Erickson, and she said they just wanted China in the final for Rio. And they met in the final and were determined to win. And that's what they did. And they completely dominated that game. So to hear Katie say that this team is, you know, even a step further than that team, and as far as energy and determination, motivation to get back to the Paralympic Games for Tokyo, is pretty incredible.
Yes, I'm very interested to see their approach, you know, at the Paralympic Games of being the team to beat, and how they carry themselves, how they come out the gates firing, how they're able to click and mesh and carry over this cohesive energy that's been established at their practices and their training camps now into these games. So I'm wondering, are we going to see a repeat?
Yeah, to your point, it will be interesting to see how they handle defending the gold medal versus trying to go after it, which is what they did in Rio. The team's growth over the last 3 years, last three Paralympic quads, sorry, that Katie was talking about, is pretty incredible to hear her journey through those years and where the game even started from where she was and where it is now. This year, NBC is committed to more coverage for the Paralympic Games, so it'll be even more accessible for fans who are interested in watching. And it will just help the overall growth for those sports.
I know. And it's such a different atmosphere than we're used to watching our indoor and beach teams play. It's a much faster pace. Movement is critical. Just trying, not to run into somebody on the court and getting to your spot and getting back to your base and getting to your defensive position and just figuring out that poetic movement of, the game of sitting volleyball on the court. It's definitely a sight to watch. Make sure you tune in for these games because you're not going to want to miss a single second of the action.
Yeah, check it out for sure. Look up clips on YouTube, go to usavolleyball.org and see videos of sitting volleyball and how they play the game, because it's pretty incredible. And when you watch that, then go down and try to play it for yourself, because you'll realize how difficult it is and how easy they make it look. And you'll be sore in places you didn't even know existed. I can tell you that firsthand. I always need to take a day off after I play sitting volleyball.
I still got to try it out, but Katie, I'm going to accept your invite one day, make my way out to California, and we're going to make it happen. And, you know, as you're following, you know, their Paralympic journey of defending the gold medal, as you're following the sitting teams, you know, social media accounts, please take some time to really figure out the personality of each individual who are on the sitting team, because not just athletes. They're some are business owners. Others run charities, foundations. Some are other coaches. They have this full circuit of life outside of being a, you know, defending gold medal team that is very interesting. It just makes you applaud, you know, just their all around efforts to just their love of the game.
Well, it's always great to hear from Katie, and we're definitely excited to cheer her on, her and the women's sitting team, as well as they head to the Paralympic Games later this summer. They have already qualified, so they will be there, and yeah, definitely excited to watch them. And before we end here, we're going to talk a little bit about some upcoming events, and Clarence, why don't you tell us about those?
Don't mind if I do. We have a handful of registration deadlines and events coming up. Just to start with the 4-star beach events in Cancun from April 16th to May 2nd. So keep the dates on your radar. You do not want to miss these qualifiers. I'm telling you, they're going to be a sight to see.
And one thing about those, sorry to interject. It is three different events, three different qualifiers over that duration. So you'll actually be watching three different qualifiers that will count for Olympic points.
That is correct. Thank you. Thank you for that correction. Also, we have the USAV Open National registration closing on April 22nd, excuse me. So if you haven't registered for that, if you haven't gotten a team involved, or if you're interested, the registration deadline for that is on the 22nd. So don't miss out. We also have Collegiate National Championships at Opens registration closing there on April 29th. So you have a little bit more time, but again, get your team together. Register before the 29th. And last but not least for this episode, we have Girls Junior National Championship 18s coming up on April 23rd through 25th in Columbus, Ohio.
That's right. So mark your calendars for those events. And yeah, Clarence, first episode in the books. I'm super excited. What about you?
I'm exhausted. I think we should just wrap it. I'm just kidding. I was going to say, let's just wrap it up here. We're done. One take, one wonders, one and done. I'm just kidding. But yeah, thank you all for being a part of this, the USA Volleyball Show, this experience. We hope it's a treat for you. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone to subscribe. And we have more shows to come. I believe our episode 2 is already out now. So following this, just skip right on over to episode 2, continue on. And again, we're going to be launching episodes every other Wednesday bi-weekly. So stay tuned.
Yeah. So yeah, as a reminder, episode 2 is live right now. So go listen. We'll continue the Tokyo conversation over there with special guests Tori Dixon and Eric Soji. But yeah, thank you for listening to the USA Volleyball Show.
We'll talk to you soon.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producers are Kyle Scholzen and Lara Fawcett. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.